we think about Moses, sometimes we'll think of him as the Prince of Egypt. The faith chapter, Hebrews 11, says this about Moses, beginning in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. This is, of course, just the thumbnail sketch of Moses' biography. And when it says here that his parents were not afraid of the king's edict, we know from the narrative in Exodus that Pharaoh's edict was that all the male children of Israel were to be executed. Why? Because the Hebrews were a threat. But Moses grew up in a sanctuary, the sanctuary of Pharaoh's house. But Moses understood what was really going on, or at least he came to understand it when he reached manhood. He saw that the condition of the Hebrews was far different from his privileged position in Pharaoh's palace. In fact, the condition of his people was more like that of Joseph when he had first come to Egypt as a slave, wrongfully put into bonds by his very own brothers. And then, when he had gained a measure of favor with his master, wrongfully accused and imprisoned. And then, at Pharaoh's word, Joseph was taken out of prison and promoted to the highest office in the land. But Joseph remembered what had happened to him as a slave, as a person without rights, as a non-person, so to speak. These are the things that Moses saw when he realized that his fellow Hebrews did not have any rights, not even the right to life. So when we understand this, we see that the daily life of an Israelite in ancient Egypt before God delivered them was a life of looking for refuge and security wherever they might be able to find it. It's not unlike the existence that's described by Holocaust survivors when they were in the concentration camps and the death camps run by Nazi Germany. How did they survive when they were regarded as less than human and there was no value in their lives at all? With that in mind, consider these instructions that God gave to Israel through Moses. Deuteronomy 10:12-22 says this, "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today for your good? Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you, above all peoples, as it is this day. So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him and cling to him, and you shall swear by his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in heaven." What we see in this passage are a number of elements that the Lord speaks time and time again. Number one, show justice, true justice. Number two, Don't take any bribes and pervert justice. Number three, look out for the most vulnerable in society, the widows, the orphans, the fatherless. Look out for the poor. Look out for those aliens, the strangers in the land. And when he makes these commands, he often explains why. He says, you yourselves were aliens. You yourselves were strangers. You yourselves were without a permanent home and considered something less than human when you were in the land of Egypt. Your life was preserved by a thread there. You had no control over your circumstances. So I want you to remember those who are vulnerable in your midst, to make sure you do not lord it over them in the same way the Egyptians lorded over you. Now, the record of Scripture is very sad on this point, because we see that ancient Israel did not keep this commandment. Ancient Israel, God's covenant people, perverted justice. Now, was it because they were evil? Not necessarily. They were people just like you and me, trying to raise their families in peace, trying to get along, trying to prosper and look out for the future of their sons and daughters. But as they were doing that, they forgot the high calling that was put upon them as God's witnesses to all the nations, the witnesses who would carry out true justice and make sure that the system that they had constructed was based on God's foundation of justice and mercy. But we see the indictments of the prophets that the people of ancient Israel took bribes and perverted justice whenever they saw fit, so that the vulnerable among them, the widows, the orphans, the poor, the aliens, they felt dehumanized, powerless, rootless, without recourse, because even the very system that would give them justice was the system that preserved their permanent underclass status. It's a far cry from what God said in Deuteronomy 16, verses 18 through 20. You shall appoint for yourself judges and officers in all your towns which the Lord your God is giving you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not distort justice, you shall not be partial, and you shall not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Justice, and only justice, shall you pursue, that you may live and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Justice and only justice. Justice pursued in the right way, not justice pursued unjustly, that runs roughshod, even over the criminals who are not given due process of law. Now, does this have application to our present day? Absolutely. Because the system that we live in now in the United States of America, though it is rooted in the rule of law, and even in these righteous principles that God had laid down, it is a system that produces both justice and injustice. So what do the people of God do about this? The first thing is to be aware of the problem. And that is what the Lord said. In Matthew 25, we have that parable of the sheep and the goats. And he explains how the sheep were those who would come and help the Lord and give him something to eat when he was hungry and give him drink when he was thirsty, invite him in when he was a stranger, clothe him when he was naked, visit him when he was sick, come to him when he was in prison. What does it mean, come to him when he was in prison? What does it mean to do all these things? First of all, it means to be aware that there are fellow human beings in need, to acquaint ourselves of the problem, and then prayerfully seek what to do about this. The Lord provides the guidance. The Lord helps us to understand, and the Lord shows us the way and provides the means. If we follow Him in this, then we are pursuing just justice and helping the most vulnerable among us and righting the wrongs that would not otherwise be righted. These are the heart attitudes and the deeds that will hear our Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."